It's a joy to be in the house of God today, and to let you know, the pastor is not here with us today, so he asked me to stand and in this place to share God's word with you. And I pray that even as we share God's word together, may his word find room in our hearts. And I've entitled the message for today as Listen to the Voice of Reason. And I think it's very clear from the title that there must be a voice. The voice must come from someone, and that someone is our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that, "I know my sheep, for they hear my voice, and they follow me." And so I decided to put up this theme because we've just gone past Easter, and we all know what Easter is all about. If we do not know, then I'll try to explain that in a very few minutes that we have together. If I was to ask you a question this morning, how is your Easter? I'm sure that I'll have varying answers. I just heard one say, "It was pretty good." And probably I'll ask you again, "How was your Easter?" You say, "That's kind of boring. Why ask us again and again?" If I saw you in the parking slot, or if you're walking down the street, your answer might be one of these. What comes to mind about Easter? So try and answer this question, right? And this might depend on our thought pattern, right? Some of you say, "Well, Easter, I remember, was at Beachside. We went with a family out there and we had a great time." Others will say, "Gosh, I remember Easter as being so crowded in Valencia because of the many people out there." Mind you, I like going to Valencia, it's a beautiful place. Is that your part of Easter holidays, that you're out at a concert? Or is it a part of you going with the family for a walkabout in the countryside? Or probably you threw yourself from the plane and trying to experience something new in your life? A bit of scary stuff out there. Or the youth would say, "Well, I had a skating stuff with my friends." Or is it like you and me who enjoys a ride with my vehicle somewhere in the forest or in the sandy beaches of Dubai or places like that, or safari? Or maybe you like safari in Africa. That had to come on. In Africa, I have to put that on, right, to promote the continent of Africa, right? That said, let's just pray to the Lord even as we enter into his word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time that we can come before your feet of grace to hear from you. We're asking that now you may declare your word. Holy Spirit, that you may fill us anew with your word. And help us, Lord, that your word might find room in our hearts. Thank you that your word is living and active and sharper than two-edged sword. Lord, we're asking that your word may be alive again to our lives today, because we're asking in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I said earlier on, that we're looking at, having looked at Easter, and we just read from the book of John chapter 21, reminding us of the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to see his disciples again, having been risen from the dead. That was on the, after being risen from the dead, he finds them doing what they did before. And what they did before was they were actually doing fishing. But before we come to that, we'd like to see why Christ had to die and why Christ had to rise again from the dead. And I think for the past few weeks, we've been learning about all that from the other preachers. We see that Christ coming into the world was through the Virgin Mary. Why did he have to come, and why was he born? Through the Virgin Mary. God says in his word that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 2, God made man out of his own image. And the greatest gift that God gave to man was life. Are we actually in agreement? God breathed in the nostrils of man life. So the clay that God made out of the ground, out came man. and God breathed the breath of life. And that's the greatest gift that God gave to mankind, life. And God said to this man, you can eat of any fruit in the Garden of Eden, any fruit, any kind of tree, there's fruit over there. But that tree over there, you cannot eat from it, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat from this tree, you will surely die. So death was introduced by God to man. But death was silent. Death had no life. But said, if you eat from this tree, you surely die. And the day that man ate from the tree, man will die. So rebellion or sin, sin is rebellion, right? We actually disobey the Lord. In disobedience, death was activated by our rebelliousness to God. When we allowed Satan to make us fall, death was now activated. And Bible says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And the wage of sin is now death. So man will die because of our unrighteousness. So Christ had a plan for a way out. And Christ came. He who knew no sin came into the world. And he came into the world by the birth of a human being called Jesus. But he was the Christ. That's why we call him Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world, the Anointed One. So Christ had been born through the Virgin Mary. And we see his life that at age of very young age, he was always in the house of his Father. One time Christ was lost, entre comillas, and the mother was looking for him. They traveled a day and a half, and they realized, hang on, where is Jesus? He's not with us. So they had to go back 1.5 days again, backwards, to where he was. And they searched around for him, looking out for him. When they found him, he said a very interesting phrase. He said to his mom, but why are you looking out for me? Funny answer, right? Don't you know that I have to be in the house of my Father? Was the answer that Christ gave to Mary. And Mary stored those words in her heart. And a time came when he was 30 years old, as he began his ministry now of a redemption. Mary said to the people around at the wedding, whatever this man says, do it. And that's how Nike got the words, just do it. They stole the words from the Bible. Just like many things are stolen from the Bible. But when Mary said, just do it, and things happen, we just do it. That's why young people wear the Nike shoes and they run up and down. Just do it. There are results in doing that. And Mary learned so quickly, said, whatever he says, you better do it. And he said to them, you pour water into these jars. And out of that came the sweet wine. By listening to the voice of the Lord. So Mary learned that lesson and she kept it. Have we learned the voice of the Lord today? Are we keeping it? Are we activating his words in our lives? Like Mary did. She listened to the voice of the Lord. So Christ's mission on earth started from his birth. He knew no sin at all. Mary and Joseph did not conceive Jesus Christ. It was God himself incarnated through the birth of a human being called Jesus. And through that birth, he knew no sin at all. So there came a problem then. How could this man who has no sin be a sacrifice for mankind? So what Christ did, he came, he took the sins of Charlie, my sins, and your sins. He went collecting the sins. And on the cross, he had all our sins. Then yes, the plan would not be fulfilled, that he would die for the sinners, myself, having sin now. That's why he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me out of pain and anguish? But we know that God was always with his son, because he said that I and my Father, we are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So now he was the lamb led to the slaughter on the cross, because now he had our sins on the cross. For he was nailed because of our transgressions. So without sin, he would not die on the cross. But having carried your sins and my sins, he was able to die on the cross. He died on the cross. He was buried. But according to his word, he says, I have authority to lay down my life, and I have authority to raise up again. So death could not hold on to Christ. It tried, mind you, it tried. There was a battle. But God is God, and God was triumphant. And he broke the power of sin and the power of death. And that is why, thank God for that, amen. And that is why, after breaking the power of darkness, we can never have fear. Growing up in Zambia, we were told not to walk on the graves. It was sacred. You could not walk on a grave. If you did, I would tell you that maybe you might actually have a rotten leg. So it was something that was left very far away from our towns. Because they said death is powerful. Death kills. And one of the greatest fears we have in the world is death. Am I right? Okay. If you don't believe me, I'll explain it to you. Remember the times of COVID? We all remember, right? There were long queues to buy groceries. And everyone had a mask on. And anytime you heard someone cough, what happens? You're kind of looking and saying, why is he in the queue? You know, why is this chap in the queue? You better be at home. Why? Because everyone was scared of death. The streets in Madrid were very quiet and silent. We never came to worship. There's only one pastor standing here and preaching to a lonely church. No one came to worship, because the governor said to us, you cannot go. There's death out there. Now, Christ Jesus, when he died and rose again, the tomb is open. He defeated the power of sin and death. Remember, it was dormant in the beginning. When man sinned, we activated death. And now Christ broke the yoke of slavery when he rose again from the grave. And that's why we sing those songs. He has risen. We can now have power again. And the power of death is now dormant. It's dead again. So the devil has no hold on us as long as we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having said that, so now we know why Christ had to die and rise again from the dead. We come to this verse in John and chapter 21. Christ has already died, he's risen, and is now showing himself to his disciples. The disciples are very wary of his death. They're scared, they're lonely, they're bewildered. They don't know what to do now. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. Remember, they were very good fishermen before they were called to the ministry. And so they go fishing with the Lord. Well, they go fishing with his friends. They said, I too will go with you. So they toiled the whole night looking for fish. In our lives as well, we toil every day. And if the Lord is not present, there are no results in our lives. We still have rage, fear. We still have this problem we have. Why? Because we've not allowed Christ to come into our lives and take full control. We are the captains of our boats. I know how to drive my life. I can drive it. We plan everything according to our own understanding. But Christ is saying, have you caught any fish? And they say to him, no fish at all. And he says to them, cast your fish on the right side of the boat. I bet if you're Spanish, you say, vale, el listillo, no? this guy, who is he to tell us to cast the net on the right side of the boat? He knows more than us. We are fishermen. We know how to fish. But hey, they said, we'll lose nothing in trying, yes? But let's do this. We can demonstrate to him that there's no fish at all. Those were their words, I think. So they cast the net on the right side of the boat. And the Bible says that they caught hundreds of fish. So they counted them just to demonstrate that they caught a lot of fish that day. Or probably they had to count the fish as they take them to the market side to trade them. But the number is not very important to us. All we know is that they caught a lot of fish that day. Why? Because they listened, they hearkened to the voice of Jesus. So when Jesus speaks, we ought to hearken to his voice, listen to his voice, listen to his command, and the Lord knows better. And our lives can be changed. Why? Because God knows better than we do. We can never trust ourselves, for we do not know what tomorrow holds. But God knows what tomorrow holds. He's the giver of life. He says, I'm the bread of life. He that partakes of me will not die, but have everlasting life. Are we fishing now? Are we bored of our lives as Christians? What are we doing for the Lord? Now, here in this chapter, I see that God came back, wanted to see his disciples, to reassure them that he who died had risen from the dead. And from Luke chapter 24, I was sharing this scripture with my sister earlier on, we see something very interesting. At least I do. It says that he appeared to them and he said, I'm no ghost at all. Come and touch my body. Come and touch my hand. I'm flesh and bone. Interesting, right? Where's the blood there? The blood was used to take us back to the Lord, amen? He says, I've got the flesh and the bones. Blood is missing in his body because he wiped us with his blood. He's transformed our lives because of his blood. He paid the price. The ransom is paid on the cross. And the blood was no longer there because the blood that flows, you know, blood has all the ingredients, sicknesses. Everything flows in the blood, the doctors will tell you. The tissue of blood is gone. The blood is gone. All the sins are being cleared because of his blood. He was only flesh and bones, but he also ate. Amen? He ate fish with them. And God wants to feast with us every day, but with his living word. He says from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, that I have forgotten, I have no memory of your sins. So when the devil strikes us and tells us, you know what you did yesterday, you say, I have no memory at all. Because God has forgiven us of our sins. And when God forgives, God forgets. Not like us. We remember the things that are wronged against us. And we say, I still remember you did this to me the other day, año pasado, or that other year. We still have a collection of these debts. But God is different. God remembers our sins no more. So we can live lives that are worthy of his calling. There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new have come. So let's not look back at the things of the world. Let's not look back at the things that you went through when we actually didn't know the Lord. But let's strive with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's forge ahead. Let's cling on to the Lord. Let's read his word. His word is living and is active. The world is saying to be advancing, progressing, and believing in science. But in the advancement of the world, we still see misery every day. People are being raped. People are being stolen from their homes. People are actually being killed. There's abortion on a high rate now. Theft on a high rate now. And all this in the advancement of the world, in the progressing of the world. But they're not looking at the author of life, who is God. We got to turn back to our God, for God knows better than we do. We cannot drive the vehicles on our own. We sang that song earlier saying that as for me, I'm going to make every room possible for him. I'll write it in my every room, every compartment of my room. Are we doing that? Or have you just gone back fishing? May the word of the Lord find us at the point in our lives when it becomes relevant to us. Mind you, he says that everything else will pass away. The heavens will pass away, the earth will pass away, but my word stands forever. It never ends. Since Christ has died, Christ has risen, may he rise up in our hearts today. May we follow him wholeheartedly and let him lead us in the way that is the way of righteousness and faith in the Lord. So when things are going bad in our lives, let's listen to the voice of the Lord. What is he saying to us? What's God say in this situation? The Holy Spirit has come that he may lead us if we let him lead us. When Christ had risen, he appeared to the disciples for 40 days. He was preaching about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the earth. What is our activity every day? Are we clinging on to the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or do we have a battle in our lives and saying, I want to do this, but my heart's desire is on the other stuff? We've got our priorities all wrong. I have my priorities all wrong. And I need the Holy Spirit to remind me of what he says in his word. May the world become dim to us, and may Christ become brighter in our lives. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning for your word. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you may confirm your word in our hearts today through Jesus Christ. Amen.